030 Jolie, The Hand of God, 15th of April 2012.
Brother, are you ready to bring the word at this time? All right, come on then. Praise God.
Hallelujah. It's good to be here. Amen. I feel like a stranger today. I don't know why. Hallelujah. Probably because I haven't been here for quite a long time. It's good to be back. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God in this place so powerfully this afternoon. I don't know about you, but I really feel the power of God in this place. Hallelujah. And it's so wonderful when we come to the presence of God and we know that He's there with us. We know that He's listening to our prayers. We know that we matter for Him. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for this word. We pray that You speak to our heart. We pray, Lord, that Your word might be Lord's solution to problems. That Your word might be an answer to questions. That Your word might encourage each one of us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to be talking today and reflecting with you about the hand of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The hand of God. I think it has been quite a few weeks when I was preaching here, I mentioned something about the hand of God. And as I went home, I reflected on it. And today, I just want to share with you that reflection. And hopefully, the Lord will reach out to somebody in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So can we all open our Bible in the book of Prophet Isaiah? Prophet Isaiah, chapter 59. And that will be the first verse. So the first scripture is Isaiah 59, and I'll be reading the very first verse. It says, "Surely the hand of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is He too dull to hear." Amen. Surely the arm of the Lord, in certain versions they say the hand of the Lord, is not too short to save, nor is here too dull to hear. Amen.
Amen.
The second text is the book of Psalm. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. And I'll start from the first verse. This is a very beautiful psalm that I like very much. Psalm 95. Are we ready?
Yeah.
The Bible says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and exalt Him with music and song." Why? For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all God. In His hand are the depth of the earth, and the mountain peak belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the folk under His care. Hallelujah. The folk under His care. This is a great invitation to come and worship, to come and celebrate, to come and sing, to forget about our situation,
Amen.
To forget about our problems,
yes.
And to just worship.
Amen.
And the psalm says it. Why? Because God has an end.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God has an end. H-A-N-D.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
God has an end.
Yes.
Somewhere the Bible says, He doesn't just have an ear to listen. Hallelujah. Not just a heart to feel your pain, but He also has an end to act. This is why we need to come with thanksgiving in the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not just an eye to see.
Yeah.
Not just a ear to listen.
Yeah. It
also has an end. Oh, and it can do things for you.
Yes.
It can touch you.
Oh,
it can do something for you. Hallelujah.
It
has an end. But, listen to this. That end is very powerful. Hallelujah. It's not just any hand.
Yeah.
We are talking about the hand of God.
Yeah.
And the psalm says it. He has the depth of the earth in his hand. I remember when I was in Sunday school many years ago. that famous song. He has the whole world. He needs and he has the whole world. He needs and he has the whole world. He needs and he has the whole world in his hand. Hallelujah. He has the whole world in his hand. It's a massive hand. A powerful, a mighty hand. Hallelujah. This is how great is our God. Hallelujah. When you look at the beauty of the universe, when you look at the complexity of the human body, and you realize the hand who has made all those things is the hand of our God. Hallelujah. People believe that the universe has come from nothing. We know that it came by the power of the hand of God. Hallelujah. Such a beauty, such a complexity, such a mechanism, following many principles, it cannot be a fruit of nothing. It comes from somebody. The only problem is they don't know who that person is. And they choose to ignore him. But you and I, we know who that person is. He's our Lord. He's our God. Hallelujah. When you look at your hand. When you look at your hand. Look at how useful your hand is. You can touch things. You can handle things. Hallelujah. It's a very powerful tool that you have there. Very powerful tool. Very precise. Even in the dark, you know exactly where to handle things. This is the hand of God. Hallelujah. It's a very powerful thing. And God has a hand very useful. God knows how to touch people. Hallelujah. He knows how to handle situations. He has everything in his hand. In his hand, there is things you are praying for. Those things are in the hand of God. There is even things you have never prayed for those things. But they are all in the hand of God. Hallelujah. They are things you know. They are in the hand of God. Even things you don't know. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about a new city that will be built. The Bible talks about new things to come that you and I, we don't know. But those things are being kept secret in the hand of God. He's the maker of everything. He has created this earth and is preparing for us another place. Everything is in his hand. Hallelujah. You don't need to know those things. They are in his hand. He's in control of everything. Hallelujah. You don't need to know those things. But God has everything prepared in his hand. How powerful is the hand of God? Hallelujah. That's the beauty of the hand of God. Not only he has an end, and that end is very powerful. I'll say those ends are very powerful, but he is also willing and he is prepared to use those hands to care for his people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The psalm talks about us being the pasture under his care, the folk under his care.
Yeah.
He is ready to get his hands to do something to care about us. That's the verse 7. Who say we are the folk under his care. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is willing to do good things for you and for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God is willing. We have celebrated Easter. We have celebrated the resurrection of God. He is willing to impact us, to release his power, to free us, to set us free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not far away. The society today wants to totally ignore God because they can't imagine God. They think God is too far. God is indifferent to our needs. They think God is not interested in our businesses and we prefer to ignore God. But we know that God is God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I was watching a documentary once, and a young man said something that was very interesting to me. He was mentioning a planet that was discovered recently. And he was explaining how that planet actually has an influence to our solar system. Yeah. And we didn't know that planet until recently. But that didn't stop that planet to exist. And it didn't stop that planet to have an impact into this solar system. That's how God operates. Even if people who do not want to know God, it doesn't stop God being God. And it doesn't stop Him interfering in our business. It doesn't stop Him doing good things. The Bible says, He raised the sun for the good, for the righteous, and for the wicked. Hallelujah. Even when they don't recognize Him, God is still there blessing people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is God. We are the people under His care. Hallelujah. Yeah. God is not indifferent. God is not too far. The problem is we are not able to handle the silence of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's the real problem.
Yeah.
The problem is we don't want Him to be silent.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. It's a very difficult experience when God doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
And that's happened often. You know, God speaks every time, but there is time when He decides not to speak.
Yeah.
And that time, the silence of God is very difficult to end on.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says, the righteousness shall live by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The silence of God is the time between the time God has made the promise to the fulfillment of the promise.
Yeah.
That gap. I wish He was coming every day to remind me about His promises. I wish every morning He can remind me. But the problem is sometimes He made a promise and He goes forward. He goes there waiting for you at the fulfillment. And you are still, I would say, stuck in time, because God lives outside time. He lives in eternity. When He made a promise, He goes forward where He finished everything. Everything is done, said Jesus at the cross. He's there waiting for you, but you will struggle to get there. And this is your journey of faith. This is your journey of discovering Him better and better.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. This is your time. You have to handle the silence of God. Hallelujah. We don't lack the silence of God. Sometimes, when God is silent, we create something.
Yeah.
We create something because we can't handle it.
Yeah.
You recall the story of Abraham.
Yeah.
God came and gave promises to Abraham.
He
said, I'll bless you. I'll make you a father of many.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That was a powerful promise.
Yeah.
But then, God disappear
yeah.
in the scene.
Yeah.
1 year, 2 years,
yeah.
3 years, 25 years.
Yeah.
And Abraham couldn't handle the silence anymore. He created a short way. And he had a son with his servant. Hallelujah. And you know what happened next? Many problems occur because Abraham couldn't handle the silence of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But guess what? He learned his lesson.
Yeah.
Because many years later, God came and gave Abraham a son, which was Isaac. And then one day God came again and said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice for me your son, your only son.
Yeah.
I want you to go into Moriah and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham was going, and God stopped talking to him. Abraham wished they could argue with God, so he can explain to God, you promised me a son, and that's the son. How can you ask me to sacrifice that son? But God disappeared. And Abraham was there, picked the son, picked everything, and the son asked him, where is the sacrifice? Abraham says, I wish I can answer. Hallelujah. I wish I can give you an answer. Where is the sacrifice? But this time, he learned his lesson. He said something amazing. He said, God will provide.
Amen.
God will provide. This is a man who has grown up in faith.
Yeah.
This is a man who understands that God has an end, but I have to handle the silence of God. Hallelujah. This is a man who takes the son and says, let's go. I don't know how it's going to happen. I even believe that even when I will kill my son, he will resurrect from the dead. That was how strong his faith was. Abraham came to the point of believing that if God doesn't stop him killing his son, he will resurrect his son.
Amen.
He came to that point. The power of resurrection that we celebrate in Easter is the power to believe that even if I don't get what I'm hoping for, God will create another way.
Amen.
Even if I don't get what I think is crucial to me, God will create another way. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I just know it. This is the power of resurrection. Hallelujah. It's to believe that death is not the end of everything. It's to believe that I might fail today, it's not the end of everything.
Yeah.
I might lack today, it's not the end of everything.
Yeah.
Something will come out somehow.
Yeah.
Because all things work for the good of those who love God. Hallelujah. This is Abraham knowing how to handle the silence of God.
Yeah.
Another story you remember at the Mount Sinai, when Moses went up to listen to the word of God. And as he went up, the people stayed downstairs. They started to become impatient.
Yeah.
Impatient. And they say, wow, Moses is gone.
Yeah.
We don't think he will come back.
Yeah.
When Moses came down, he found a people fed up of waiting.
Yeah.
Today we have many Christians fed up of waiting.
Yeah.
When Jesus will come down, will he find you ready and waiting? Hallelujah. Moses found people fed up of waiting. And they created their own idol.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't handle the silence
yeah.
of God. Hallelujah. This is the problem we have. God has an end. And I say, amen. The end of God is powerful. Amen. He's ready to do something for me. Amen. But he will do it on his term. Because he's sovereign. Hallelujah. He will do it when he wants it, how he wants it. Hallelujah. The Bible talks in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It talks about the heroes of faith. The man and woman who have accomplished many things. You'll be surprised to see that the Bible even talks about the people who didn't receive what they were waiting for. It talks about people who didn't receive what they were waiting for, but they die in the faith.
Amen.
Because they believe in God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, an overcoming life is not always what Christianity of today tries to portray. When we say it's about overcoming, we have the belief that overcoming is being successful financially. Overcoming is being, you know, materially fulfilled. Being an overcomer is having success in material and physical things. It's not always the case.
No.
Hallelujah. Being overcomers is to stand firm in your faith.
Amen.
This is what it is about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a text I want you to read with me. It's a very beautiful text that I love very much. It's in a book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and he gives them the secret of being an overcomer. Look at what he says. He says, one, be on your guard. Two, stand firm in the faith. Three, be men of courage. Four, be strong. And then five, do everything in love. This is the secret to become an overcomer. Hallelujah. Be in your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong and do everything in love.
Yeah.
Once you have those principles in place, you are an overcomer.
Amen.
Regardless of what's happening in your physical world, regardless of what you have or you don't have, regardless of what you have achieved or not achieved in the highs of this world, but if you are strong in your faith, you are on your guard, and you are a man of courage, and you'll do everything by love, you are an overcomer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. An overcomer is a believer who stands by his faith and who's declaring the word of God, living the word of God, and sharing the love of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's an overcomer. It's not about building big buildings. Yeah. It's not about having massive church. Yeah. It's not about having planes. It's not about all those things. Yeah. The Bible said, what shall profit a man to have everything if he loses his soul?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is the secret. One, be on your guard. Being on your guard is being careful.
Yeah.
A real Christian who's overcomer is not careless. Today we have a lot of careless attitude in our Christianity.
Yeah.
We don't care. The mentality of I don't care. Hallelujah. I don't care mentality is showing that you are not an overcomer. If you want to be an overcomer, you need to be a very careful Christian. Hallelujah. You know, when you handle your job, you are very careful with your job. When you handle your car, you are very careful with your car. Bring the same attention, the same passion to the word of God, to the things of God, to the ministry. Bring the same focus. That will make you an overcomer. Hallelujah. We have today a kind of Christianity that teaches us to bring excuses to our failure, to bring excuses to our sin, to bring excuses. We are explaining to people, you know, the world has changed. Things are changing today. This is the 21st century. So some things we are allowed now to do. We are changing things because we are no longer overcome. Hallelujah. Secondly, he says, stand firm. Don't lose ground. Stand firm in your faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says the righteous are like palm tree. The cross like palm tree. They are planted. Their roof goes down. You need to be planted in the word of God. This is how we become overcomers. Hallelujah. Planted in the word of God. We need to be strong. Because our salvation is near, says Paul. Our salvation is near in Romans. That's why we need to be planted and be careful. Hallelujah. Standing firm in our relationship with God.
Yeah.
It might cost you a lot. It might cost you your friends. It might cost you your relationships.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might cost you your job.
Yeah.
It might cost you your reputation.
Yeah.
But this is the life of an overcomer. Hallelujah. If you want to show me an overcomer, don't show me somebody who's living prosperity. Show me somebody who's standing firm in his faith. That's an overcomer.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's an overcomer. God is a God who wants you to prosper financially. He wants it. But don't forget, this is not the priority for God for your life. The priority for God is for your faith to be planted. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then he says again, be a man of courage. Be a man of courage. Don't be an ordinary person. Live like a God. Hallelujah. Live like a man. Live like a God. Be special. Be a man of courage. Be strong.
Yeah.
You know, before I used to ask God, make me strong, Lord. Make me strong. But I realized that many times the Bible speaks about being strong. It's actually a commandment.
Yeah.
It's God asking me to be strong.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Remember what he said to Joshua. He said, be strong. Hallelujah. It's not often about God making us strong. It's also about us doing our bits.
Yeah.
Accepting the word of God.
Yeah.
Doing our bits. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is the attitude that will help us deal with the silence of God.
Yeah.
When you have that strength, you have that ability to wait on God.
Yeah.
And then lastly, you can share the love of God.
Yeah.
Because if you only have your faith strong and you don't reach out to people, you actually will become religious.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people today who have a high esteem of themselves. They think of themselves as being too holy. Hallelujah. Today in the church, we have that mentality of thinking, because we are Christian, we are too good for the world. And we stop reaching out to the people outside. We actually forget that it's only by grace that we are what we are. Hallelujah. We are no better than the people out there. We are no better than the people who are living in sin out there. We are just like them. It's only by grace that we are what we are today. Hallelujah. So the moment we stop reaching out to people, the moment we stop loving people, caring for people, our strength will become our weakness. Hallelujah. What we think was a strength for us will become a weakness to us. In any given time, we need to share love, share compassion. Hallelujah. We don't have to be judging people. We need to be supporting people, helping people to reach out to their destiny. Hallelujah. Helping people to come to a place of understanding. Yes. Helping people to experience what we have experienced in God. Yes. And then they will become like us. Hallelujah. Yes. Then they will be like us. This is how to handle the silence of God. Hallelujah. It's a very difficult experience to do, the silence of God. It's a very difficult experience. And I know many of us, we are going through situation where God is keeping quiet. You wish He can say something. Hallelujah. You read the Word of God, but it's not enough. You say, Lord, I wish You can come and remind me something special. Hallelujah. Everything is in the book. He says it whole. Hallelujah. He says it whole. There has been a time during in Israel when a lot of false prophets came about because the people were hungry of the Word of God in a bad way. Yeah. They couldn't handle the silence of God anymore, and they started to appoint prophets that can tell them things they want to listen to. Yeah. Hallelujah. And this is what's happening today. Yeah. If you stand in the altar and you preach about holiness, you preach about sanctification, people will run away. But if you speak about blessing, about prosperity, you say to somebody, God will make you a millionaire. Next Sunday will be there. Hallelujah. And this is what's happening. We have people creating their own message, creating their own preacher, giving them the message so the preacher can preach them and they can feel happy about themselves. This is not how the King of the God operates. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is not how the Kingdom of God operates. If I come and I take a bottle with a special water inside and I say, take this, when you go home, you become a millionaire. Next Sunday, people will come and they will fill this place. They say, why? There is an anointing formula that they are using in this church to make people prosper. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because people want to listen to what they really need. But the Word of God shouldn't be compromised. Hallelujah. So God has an end which He is ready to use to care for you and for me. Hallelujah. Right. Never mind about the silence of God. He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. The grave is empty. His hand will work for you. Yeah. He's no longer dead. He's alive. Never mind about the time He's taking. He's alive. And He has a powerful hand. He will reach out to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because He has an end, I'm trying to portray my hand with the hand of God. And I'm trying to see my finger. Hallelujah. And to see the work of the finger of God. And I remember, this is the point I mentioned earlier, that few times ago when I minister here, I mentioned about this one. I mentioned about, it's just an image, just to give us an idea of the finger of God having our name on it. That means that in the hand of God, there is one finger to remind Him about you. Hallelujah. In the hand of God, there is one finger to remind Him about you. Because God loves you and God cares for you. Hallelujah. The idea came from the verse that in the Songs of Song, chapter 8, verse 3, verse 6. Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6. The Bible says, "Wear me as a ring in your hand." Hallelujah. Wear me as a ring in your hand. And I remember mentioning the fact that when people get engaged or they want to get married, they exchange ring, okay? Yeah. And the ring actually is a reminder of a special commitment to somebody. Yeah. The ring reminds you that you are in relationship with somebody. This is what has happened between us and God. Through Jesus Christ, God has put a ring on our finger, and there is in the finger of God a ring with our name, so that every day God knows that we are his people. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why? Because there is a ring in his finger. Always in the hand of God, there is love for you. Hallelujah. Always in the hand of God, there is love for you. He's ready to care for you. There is love to remind him about you. Hallelujah. When you get engaged to somebody, you say, "Shall I ask for your hand?"
Yeah.
Okay? It's a bit too romantic, isn't it? You know, in Africa, in some part in Africa, actually, the gentleman don't even has to go through the painful experience. He has people appointed to do it for him. Sometimes I've been told a story where the uncle and the gentleman sit overnight with a paper and they name all the families, and the gentleman says, "Oh, the young lady in the village, he think he can have in marriage," and they make a decision. And the uncle goes in the next day, bringing gift, coming in the house and say, "I'm coming to ask the hand of your daughter for my nephew." So the young man doesn't have to go through the experience. Hallelujah. But what it is, it's you asking the hand of somebody because you want to be in relationship with that person. By asking the hand, you are actually asking a life. When you say, "I've given her my hand," that means I'm giving him my life. You are now committed to life. Hallelujah. That's why we should think twice before giving our hand. Because we're giving our life. Hallelujah. And this is the marriage that happened between us and God. Now it is for life. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. There is in the hand of God a ring with your name. I want to tell you, God knows you. He can't forget about you. I know you're struggling and you say, "God, where are you? Where are you?" I want to tell you something. He hasn't forgotten about you. He can't forget you because your name is right in his hand. Hallelujah. He can't forget you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isaiah 43 reminds us of God's commitment towards her, towards his people. Isaiah 43, from the first verse. This is what God says about Israel, which spiritually is what God says about the church. "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in yours instead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. Hallelujah. This is what God says. I can't forget you. You are precious to me. Hallelujah. Maybe you think you have no value. Maybe today's society try to tell you that you are not precious because you are not a celebrity. They tell you are no one because you are not earning more than, I don't know, £80,000 a year. They says you are middle class or you are in the middle. What did they call it now?
Lower class.
The squeeze class. They're trying to give name to value what you are and what you really are. But God says, you are precious to me. Hallelujah. Maybe you don't have a degree. And today society want to make you think that you only are valuable when you have a degree. When you have a job. When you have an husband, when you have a wife, when you have children, when you have a car, and you are putting that in your hand, and you live depressed. You are depressed because you are not reaching to the standard that the world has set. But I want to tell you something. God has a different standard for you. He loves you, and He believes you are precious to Him because you have His ring on your finger. And that ring came from the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. So when He see you, He value you. You are precious to God in the name of Jesus. Don't let anyone tell you the opposite. You have value in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. This is how the hand of God can work for us. There is one thing of God to remind Him about, His love for you. But there is also a finger of God to instruct you. To show you the way. To point out to you where to go. You know when Moses went up, as I mentioned before, he brought a stone. And from the finger of God, God wrote the commandment to tell His people how they should work, how they should behave. Hallelujah. Those are instructions written in stone with the finger of God. There is, in the hand of God, a finger with the fire to give instruction. Yeah. There is, in the hand of God, the ability to guide you and to lead you. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is how powerful the hand of God is. The hand of God is there not only to care for you, to look after you, but also to show you the way. Yeah. Psalm 139 verse 10 says, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. The hand of God will guide you. Hallelujah. You know, the word of God is very powerful. Very powerful indeed. When you read the Bible, it's not a book that has been designed to make you rich. Okay? If you want to be rich, go and study medicine. You become a surgeon and you make a lot of money. It's not a book that has been designed to make you intellectually clever. If you want to be intellectually clever, go to university. You learn how to reason, how to construct ideas. It is a book that has been made to make you wise.
Amen.
So in every given time, you make the right choice in life. You choose life rather than death. It is a book that has been designed to give you life. Hallelujah. In the Word of God, you'll become wiser. You'll know exactly which decision to take at any given time. Because you know the truth about God, the truth about yourself, and the truth about the world. Hallelujah. The truth about God, you know exactly how God operates, how God reacts, what are the requirements of God, how to walk with God, how to please God. You won't be told that in university.
No.
You won't be told that in the banking system.
No.
That's only in the book of God.
Amen.
That you discover how to walk with God.
Yes.
The truth about yourself, you know, people today, they think they know a lot, but they don't know about themselves. The Bible said, the heart of man is so wicked. Who knows it? We don't know the deepest, the deep of the heart of human being. Yeah. It's only God who can reach to human heart. Yeah. We are not reaching, we are not succeeding in creating a better society. Yeah. Because, yes, we are creating laws, we are creating policy to make the world better, but we are unable to change our heart. But the Bible says, life and death comes from inside. To have a better society, we have to change the heart of people. And only God can do it. That's why he came and preached the message of the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom where people's heart has been transformed to a point where they will not even need an exterior government. A government will be inside them. The law of God will be written inside their heart. And they love their neighbor. They will not kill. They shall not commit adultery. Why? Because it should be in their heart. And that is the only way to a better society. And Jesus was the prototype of the new citizen of that kingdom. Jesus came as a sample of that new kingdom of God to come. Hallelujah. We don't know the people's hearts. Everything comes from inside. As long as we're dealing with the outside and able to deal with the inside, Israel will repeat itself. This is why Israel is repeating itself. We're going from one kind of government to a different kind of government. We're going to communism, to socialism, to capitalism. We create new things. Israel will repeat itself until the kingdom of God will come. And then people will discover, hallelujah, how it is to live in righteousness. In peace, joy. The Bible said there will be no cry. No one will be in need. Everyone will be happy. Why? Because of the kingdom of God inside our heart. Hallelujah. The finger of God, the hand of God is there to lead you and to teach you the word of God so that you become a citizen of that new kingdom to come. Hallelujah. That's amazing what the Bible says about us. Don't ignore the instruction of God. Every time you come in church and you listen to a sermon, don't ignore the instruction of God. Those are the instructions that will help us build a better society for ourselves, a better church, a better community. This is instruction that will help us become the people God is dreaming to have. Hallelujah. God has a dream, if I can say so, and he's dreaming about you. He's dreaming about you in a different way. And God is actually trusting you to become that person. And guess what? God is even patient towards you. He's taking his time because he trusts you. He believes in you. Hallelujah. And he knows that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will improve day by day. Because the Bible says when Jesus will come, he'll find a church which is perfect without any problem. Day by day, the church is improving. Day by day, the Holy Spirit is transforming his people so that we'll become those people that God is dreaming. Hallelujah. And you will discover the truth about the world we are living. There is one thing in the Bible that one man of God blessed me last time as I was listening to his sermon. I was really blessed by that. You know when Joseph was living in Egypt, I hope my English is good enough. Is everybody understanding me? Yes. Praise God. When Joseph prospered in Egypt and Pharaoh started to favor the people of Israel in the land, then when Joseph died, another Pharaoh came around and that Pharaoh didn't know about Joseph. The Bible says, I want us to read it. I want us to read it. Exodus. I know we are reading too many scriptures today. Hallelujah. But we've got two for today. Exodus chapter 1. Yeah, from verse 8. As I was listening to that man of God, I was really blessed by this verse. The Bible says, then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, The Israelites have become much too numerous to us. Come, we must deal with them wisely, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, they will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. He says to his people, let us deal with them wisely. You will discover that most of the things that's happening in this world is actually the devil dealing with us wisely. Because he knows that we have a great destiny with God. Hallelujah. He knows where we are going. He says, let us deal with them wisely. Let us walk in all the sphere of their life, financially, economically, politically, socially. Let us deal with them wisely. And you know what Pharaoh resulted? He first of all appointed slave masters to oppress them. And then he appointed nurse to kill babies because he didn't want them to increase. This is what the devil is doing today. He's trying to make us sleepy Christians so that we don't progress in faith, so that we don't grow up in faith. He doesn't care if we become rich financially. He's okay with that, but he just doesn't want us to become more righteous, more faithful to God. He doesn't want us to increase in our relationship with God. This is why we need to understand the word of God, so we will understand the truth about this word. Hallelujah. It is only in the word of God that we will become wiser and wiser. This is the end of God for our life. He's there, first of all, to love us, then to instruct us. But the Bible says as well that the finger of God is pointed towards our enemies. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is our victory in the name of Jesus. Not only he loves us with his hand, not only he is guiding us, instructing us with his hand, but with the same hand, there is one finger pointed towards our enemies. Hallelujah. Exodus 8:16, the Bible says that when Pharaoh actually tried to stop the people of Israel, and God started to create or to do miracles and to send plagues in the land, it came to a point, everything he was doing, Pharaoh had his magician doing the same thing. But as time was going on, God was putting Pharaoh into a corner. Into a corner. Until the very last plague, when all the firstborn in Egypt died, and Pharaoh's son as well died. And Pharaoh asked his magician to do the same. And they say, we can't do anything. This is the finger of God. Hallelujah. This is the finger of God pointed towards God's enemy. In Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 20, Jesus said, if I drive out demon by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. People didn't understand how Jesus could drive out demons. He says, I'm doing this, not by Beelzebul, because people were thinking that he was doing that by Beelzebul. He says, no, I'm doing this by the finger of God. There is one finger of God towards your enemy. So do not panic. Do not be afraid. If things are going against you, there is one finger of God to deal with that. Hallelujah. You just keep on praising God. As some say, come, let's sing, let's worship. You just keep on praising God because God will take care of your enemies. He says to the people of Israel, the Egyptian you are seeing today, there will be no more tomorrow. I will deal with them. You just keep on praising God. Hallelujah. But that same end of God who loves you, that same end of God who instructs you, that same end of God who's pointing towards your enemy can also strike you. And I say amen myself. Because people don't want to say amen to that. And I say amen myself. Hallelujah. That same end of God can time to time punch you. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's the hand of the potter. Yeah. And he needs to give you a form. Yeah. And to do so, he needs to mold you. And that's a very painful experience. Yeah. All those things are in the hand of God. Yeah. Time to time, he loves to mold you, to give you the form. And that's very painful. Yeah. Job says in Job 19:21, "Have pity on me, my friend. Have pity, for the hand of God has struck me." Yeah. And David says in Psalm 32, verse 4, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me." Sometimes God will deal with you so that you become stronger, so that you become ready for the things he wants you to be, so that you learn quickly. Hallelujah. Sometimes he will give you a fall, and through the process, you'll feel like the hand of God is striking you. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's a bit like Jacob fighting with an angel. And when he woke up in the morning, the Bible says he couldn't walk properly because he had been fighting with an angel. You know, when an eagle wants to try to teach the babies, how do you call the baby of the eagle? Eagles. When he wants to teach them, he'll take them to a high level and he'll leave them. Those little fella will be crying out their life. Say, "Mommy, why are you doing this?" They'll be struggling and jumping. Just before they reach the end, she comes and pick them up and then redo the same experience. He take them up again. When they were little, they were just inside the niche doing nothing. She was coming and giving them food every time. But she understands that as you are growing up, you'll be looking for food yourself. Yeah. So this is the time. And one day they were waiting for mommy to bring food. No, mommy's coming and pick them and let them in the atmosphere. Yeah. And there they are crying out. Yeah. And say, "God, why are you striking me? Yeah. What did I do to deserve this?" Hallelujah. There you find all those prayers in the book of Psalms. Crying out to God, "What did I do? Why did I deserve all those things?" That's the experience David was going through because God was letting him in the atmosphere, yeah, making him ready for things to come. Hallelujah. All those things are in the hand of God. And I'll finish here. The same hand of God has one finger to anoint you. Hallelujah. To anoint you, to give you a mandate so you can do the things he wants you to do. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you read, and I think Ken read that very verse that I wanted to mention today, when he talked about God freeing the people of Israel. The Bible says, God said, "I've listened to the cry of my people in Israel, and I will go down to rescue them." Isn't it? But did really God came down? I haven't seen God. I saw Moses. But God says, "I've listened to the cry of my people, and I want to go down to rescue them." But when it came the time to go down, God didn't come down himself, but he mandated Moses. It is actually Moses who came down representing God. For Moses to be able to do so, he needed to be anointed by God. There is things that will not be done in this earth by God himself. Yeah. He will only do it through us. Amen. There is things that God will not do it by himself. Yeah. Despite his hand being very powerful, yeah, he will not do it by himself. He will lay his hand on you and me. Yeah. So we'll receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we will go and do those things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is why the salvation of many people rely on you. Because you are the people of God. The blessing of many people will pass through you and me. Because we are the people of God. And God is willing to anoint us, so we will have to express the work of God in this earth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is our goal as a church. Yeah. We don't have the right to be lazy as a church. No. We don't have the right to sit there and just enjoy worshiping God. We have a mission to fulfill. The hand of God is powerful in the earth, in heaven. And the Bible says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, His hand is powerful, but God is looking for somebody on earth. Somebody He can appoint, somebody He can anoint, somebody He can touch by His finger, so that person will become a voice to this generation. So that person will bring to people salvation. That person will bring deliverance. That person will become a canal of God to empower people. Hallelujah. We don't have the right to be lazy as a church. Last time we were discussing with Grace and Bishop, and Grace mentioned something. He said Christians today are lazy, waiting for rapture, waiting to be taken in the sky, and not doing what they are supposed to be doing. Let us forget about rapture. Let us focus in the work of God to be done in this earth. Let us work for God. Hallelujah. Let us stop bringing excuses to our way of our involvement with the things of God. Let us becoming a Christian who are strong, Christian who are careful. Let us stop being careless in the things of God. Let us becoming serious with our prayer life, serious with our way of meditating the Bible. Let us be passionate about the things of God, because we have a mission to fulfill. Hallelujah. We are no longer babies where we can be, you know, taken. This is the time to stand up and to do something for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We need to be strong. We need to be standing in firm in our faith. We need to be aware of what is happening, and we need to be sharing the love of God. This is our commitment. Our mandate is to share love. Our mandate is to bring instruction to people and to free those who are oppressed. This is the power of the end of God. It is through you and me that people will see the end of God. God bless you today. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. I just want you to respond to that invitation that says, let's sing for joy for the Lord. Let's sing for joy because His hand is powerful. Let us just start worshiping Him now. Can you just start, say something to the Lord? As you are, start praising Him for His name. Praise Him for His hand. Praise Him for the provision He's giving to you. Praise Him for the instruction He's giving to you. Just praise Him. Just forget about your issue. Forget about your situation. Just focus in His hand. He has a powerful hand. He has a powerful hand. And He is ready to use that hand for you. He's ready to use that hand to intervene in your affairs, to intervene in your businesses, to intervene in your life, in your family life. He's ready to do something. He's ready to do something for your health. He's ready to do something for your marriage. He's ready to do something for you. God is ready to do something for you. Just praise Him. Just worship Him today. He is a God of favor. He has a powerful hand. He has created everything by the power of His hand. Nothing is impossible to you, O Lord. Nothing is impossible to you. You are God. Nothing is impossible to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible to you, Lord. Nothing is impossible to you. Make us people of faith. Make us people who stand firm. Make us people who worship you. People who are not shaken because of things, material things. People who are not shaken because of what the devil is trying to do. Make us people who are aware of what the devil is trying to do. And people who are ready to serve you. Father, make us people who are anointed by you. May you anointed us. May you lay your hands hand upon our head. May you, O Lord, enlight us in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God give us an empowerment. May the Spirit of God renew our strength so we will become a voice and a testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has the whole world in his hand. 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 He has the whole world. In his hand, 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 he has the whole world in his hand. Amen. God bless you.
There was so much in that. It's, oh, boy. You know, early on, while Pastor Jolly was speaking, I heard him mention one word. And then right at the end, he mentioned that word again. And that word was focus. Yeah. Focus. And often we lose our focus. But God's all around us.
Yes.
In us and with us. Yeah. And we've just got to reestablish our focus.
Yeah.
You know, we started today talking about rest. But one of the things about rest is it does give us the chance to re-establish our focus. I don't know what your week has been full of this week, but I wonder, have you been focused on the right things? Have I been focused on the right things? And I think that to see the hand of God working in us and through us, we have got to focus on him. The world's got its focus on so many different things, and if we're not careful, we find ourselves pulled in that direction with all the focus that the world's got. Pastor talked about anointing. Talked about anointing to do things. Sometimes it's difficult when you come to stand up here, it's difficult to grasp hold of that anointing. Because our minds are on other things. Our emotions are on other things. But God's got us right in the palm of his hands. If only we will focus. If only we will get our focus on him. As we come round the table, we've got to come round as a family. But it's important that we do it. We focus on it. It's important that we focus on him as we come around and gather together as a family. You can have a different week this next week. You can have a week this next week that's completely different to the week that's gone. Just by establishing your focus on him.
Amen.
We so easily get torn in two and we get our focus on the things of the day. The things that sometimes pull us apart emotionally. And we said that at the start, we talked about resting in God. And if our rest is going to be complete, it's got to be full of his focus, focusing on him. So as you will receive the bread this afternoon, as you will receive the wine this afternoon, you talk to God. You tell him that your focus is going to be on him this next week. Not on the situations, not on the surroundings, but on him. We can see the beauty of his creation. We can see the things that he's doing. Our memory is full of the things he's done. So it should not be difficult for us to focus on him. Hallelujah. Let's all come to the front. If you have problems standing, come and sit on the front seats there. And we're going to come round together as a family. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Before, as we were starting the service, the Lord gave me a verse of scripture. And it was, "Be still and know that I am God." And I didn't read it out. I just kept it. Well, Pastor Jolly hadn't arrived by then. But, you know, I think God's trying to say something. But do not get confused, this one word, rest. Rest does not mean sit down and be lazy. That is not the meaning of that word rest. It means to be still, to be in the peace of God, to know the presence of God. Rest does not mean lay down and do nothing. That is what the world's interpretation of rest is. Lay down and do nothing. Oh, it's nice sometimes to lay down and do nothing, isn't it? But don't make that lifestyle. Because God is not God that lays down and does nothing. But when it says be still, it means still everything else that is trying to crash into what God wants to do with you and to encourage you and to strengthen you. And remember, good word today, the finger of God. Which finger's God using on you today? Hallelujah. Remember, God has got his finger on you. He's got his finger against your enemy. Hallelujah. But the word of God has got to be in your mouth. Let you need to move into that rest. Romans 16 verse 20, "And the God of peace shall soon crush Satan underneath your feet." Move into that peaceful rest. It's not lazy rest. Because, you know, as believers, you become strong when you partake of the word of God. That is our spiritual food. Being lazy says, "I'll not bother reading my Bible. Don't matter today." That makes us weak. That makes us weak. And God wants you to be strong. Because there is something that God has for you to do. Amen. The hand of God, the finger of God has something for you to do. To reach others, to testify, to give the word of life, to reach out and to be a disciple, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Hallelujah. That's what the finger of God is moving you, the church, to. Amen. That's what he's doing. Hallelujah. It's been a good word today. We had a good word last week, you know, praise God, and it's just building and it's building. There is a presence of God that has been with us this last few weeks in particular. And we just thank God for that. And if you've missed it, try and get the DVDs and just see if you can catch hold of what God is saying and doing. And dive in. Dive in. The water's warm. They're all focusing on the Titanic at the moment, aren't they? You know, celebrating. The water's freezing cold. Well, guess what? The water's warm in God. It's a delight. Hallelujah. The things of God are precious for you and for me. Don't lose out on what God's got for you. Amen. Praise God. Come on, let's gather around together. Around the Lord's table. It is his table. It's a table of provision. It's a table of life. It's a table of blessing. It's a table of hope. Come on. Don't hold back on God. Make God first. Hallelujah. Then all these other things, it says, will be, shall be added unto you. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Glory to Jesus. We bless your name, Father. Hallelujah.